I think it's going to be all right. But if you don't mind, I'd really rather not talk about it yet.
All right.
What about the rings?
I've got them all. Gloves on?
Gloves on.
Let's bury them. Oh. Diggory?
Yes?
Was this tree here before?
I don't remember it. No, it wasn't. This is where I buried the apple core.
Oh, how wonderful. Is that why you've dug this circle around it?
Yes. It seemed right somehow to put the rings around this tree. Hand them here, please.
There.
Goodbye, rings.
Yes. Goodbye.
About a week after this, it was quite certain that Diggory's mother was getting better. Within 2 weeks, she was able to sit out in the garden. And a month later, that whole house had become a different place. Aunt Letty did everything that Mother liked. Windows were opened, frowsy curtains were drawn back to brighten up the rooms. There were new flowers everywhere and nicer things to eat. And they all had such games with Diggory and Polly that Aunt Letty would say,
I declare, Mabel, you're the biggest child of the three.
Diggory's father returned from India with the news that his old great-uncle Kirk had died and left them a lot of money as an inheritance. This meant that he could retire and come home from India forever and ever, and they would have a great big house in the country with suits of armour and stables and kennels and a river, a park, vineries, woods and even mountains behind it. Polly came to the house in the summers, where she learned to ride and swim and milk and bake and climb. Uncle Andrew, who learned his lesson and never tried any magic again, came to live with them there. In his old age, he became a nicer and less selfish man than he'd ever been before. So Diggory felt just as sure as you are that they were all going to live happily ever after. But perhaps you would like to know just one thing more. The tree, which sprang from the apple that Diggory had planted in the back garden, lived and grew into a fine tree. Growing in the soil of our world, far out of the sound of Aslan's voice, and far from the young heir of Narnia, it did not bear apples that would revive a dying woman, though it did bear apples that were more beautiful than any others in England. And they were extremely good for you, though not fully magical. But inside the tree itself, in the very sap of it, the tree never forgot that other tree in Narnia to which it belonged. Sometimes it would move mysteriously when there was no wind blowing. However that might be, it was proved later that there was still magic in its wood. For when Diggory was quite middle-aged and had become a great traveller and a professor and the Kettleys' old house belonged to him, there was a great storm all over the south of England which blew the tree down. He couldn't bear to have it simply chopped up for firewood, so he had part of the timber made into a wardrobe which he put in his big house in the country. And though he himself did not discover the magic properties of that wardrobe, someone else did. That was the beginning of all the comings and goings between Narnia and our world, which you may hear about some other time.
When it was published in 1955, The Magician's Nephew was an instant success with the many readers of the Chronicles of Narnia around the globe. It answered many of the questions that children and adults had asked Jack Lewis in the numerous letters he'd received. Narnia was so real to people that they simply had to know how it all began. And it's to Jack's credit that he'd had such a wonderful world worked out in his mind. The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis was dramatized and directed by Paul McCusker. Our producer and sound designer was Dave Arnold. Music was composed and orchestrated by John Campbell. Our cast included Paul Schofield as the storyteller, David Suchet as Aslan, Nathaniel Lippiatt as Diggory, Jessica Fox as Polly, Elizabeth Council as Queen Jadis, and Richard Sims as Uncle Andrew. Our cast also included the multi-voice talents of Robert Benfield, Nick Burnell, Evangeline Evans, Jane Gambier, Katie Glassborough, Peter Goodright, Polly March, David Oakley, Audrey Palmer, Philip Sherlock, and Mervyn Stutter. Focus on the Family Radio Theatre is a production of Focus on the Family. I'm your host, Douglas Gresham. Thank you for listening.